Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine, Essential Living Maine Magazine, and a series of book collaborations. Our latest one is entitled Essential Healing for Your Spirit and Soul, and I'm really excited about this book collaboration because it is a fantastic group of 20 authors who are healers from all different walks of life. Some are intuitives, some practice yoga, some are Reiki masters, some are shamanic healers, feng shui, and it's really a great compilation of all of these individuals' different paths to how they became a healer. Each chapter talks a little bit about things that happened to them, or if they kind of just always knew that what they wanted to do was to work in the spiritual realm as a healer. And it really gives people a lot of different insight into so many different healing modalities that are out there, whether you're just looking for your own personal transformation, personal development, or if it's something that you think you might want to do as a career. So it's been a great experience working with all these individuals, and I'm excited today to be speaking with Karen Lemieux. She is a licensed clinical social worker, spiritual practitioner, intuitive healer, kundalini yoga, and Reiki master teacher. Her life's work has been to understand what causes and what relieves suffering on the individual and global level. As a trauma specialist with expertise in child sexual abuse and war trauma, Karen has helped thousands find their way back to optimal health and well-being, restoring harmony and balance in the mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and soul body. Karen views all of life as sacred and empowers us to remember that we are our own healers. So thanks for being on the call today, Karen. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
Awesome. So I love doing these calls because it's an opportunity for me to talk to each of the different authors and learn a little bit more about you and your path and, you know, how you came to be doing the different types of healing modalities that you do. So I always start off the calls with just the question, you know, what was it that kind of took you down that path to becoming a healer? Was it something you knew you always wanted to do, or was there some life event that happened to you? And, you know, just tell us a little bit about kind of how that journey was.
You know, initially, I had no idea that I would end up here where I am in my life today. But, you know, I like to start the story with, I don't know if people remember taking the aptitude test when they were in high school. It helps you to know what you might be good at as a career. And my aptitude test indicated that I would be a really good auto mechanic or a really good social worker. So I don't know those two are. Yeah, I know.
I'm a fine with a florist.
Yeah.
It was funny. I do remember that.
Yeah, right? So I don't know how this became to be, but I actually married the auto mechanic, and I became the social worker. I've been a lifelong social worker. And I started out in social work, and I found myself working with very underserved populations, refugees, and people who were survivors of child sex abuse. I did a lot of war trauma. So it's been my whole career. But along the path, I've done my own healing. So as my own personal healing evolves, so does my practice and my work with patients and families and clients. You know, it's like I bring them as far as I can with what I know, and then I bump up against another opportunity to expand and grow my practice and my healing and to bring people further. So it's really evolved from kind of a strictly talk therapy modality to a full kind of body, mind, spirit practice with an integration of everything that I've learned, everything that I've used for myself, everything that I've used with clients over the years, and it continually evolves and awakens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it seems like there's kind of a couple of different groups that people fall into. It's either the group that knew from a very young age that this is what they wanted to do. They had some insight into the spiritual realm. They had experiences, things that happened to them that were different from what other people were experiencing, but they didn't shy away from it. And they kind of just, they either had a very supportive family, maybe their parents were healers or whatever, and they went down the path at a very young age. Or other people who've had like some life event, like a serious health condition or some traumatic life event that happened to them, and they had to seek out other ways to heal themselves, like traditional medicine and that kind of thing was just not working for them. So they were looking for some other way and came across the particular modality that, you know, further changed their life, and that's what they decided to do.
Right, so I would fall into the latter. I'm jealous of the people that are in the former. That's kind of, I think that's just got to be a really cool experience to have that kind of, you know, experience beyond the veil, you know, to really see the full spectrum of life beyond what it is that we see directly in front of us. So that's kind of neat. But I think I'm the kind of healer that, I believe that this all originated, you know, like long before I even came into form. But mine, you know, I think mine grows out of my own experience of healing. I'm a trauma specialist, post-traumatic stress disorder specialist, child sexual abuse and war trauma survivor specialist. And that came out of my own experience having been raised in a very violent and abusive home. I was also adopted, and I realized that after doing a lot of the healing from the abusive childhood, that once that was kind of cleared out, I was able to see that there's a trauma associated with being separated from a birth parent or birth parents. So I was, you know, was of the generation that actually didn't remember what happened to me. I had no memory of my childhood, and it wasn't until my 20s that I started to have flashbacks and remember what had happened. So my healing has been kind of a lifelong process for me, and so it's developed and opened in stages, as has my practice as a healer, kind of awakened in stages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, you know, like you said, many people might feel like, oh, it would be great if it was something that I just knew initially that I always wanted to do, but I wouldn't say that that's the majority of people that go down a path as a healer, and I think many times for people who are who don't have that experience, it's even harder for them to make the leap into doing something like this because it wasn't something they always wanted to know. So they may always say it wasn't something they knew they always wanted to do. So they may second guess their intuition or their desire. They may not have support from from family or friends. I mean, you know, like some people are doing some pretty wild, amazing things. And as much as I see the spiritual healing community and world and all of that being more accepted, it's still, a lot of people still don't accept it or don't think it's real or think that you're crazy because you're going to go, you know, learn this different type of healing and you're going to work with people on, you know, on a spiritual level. So I think it's important for people like you who have a different experience, meaning you didn't always know it was what you wanted to do, to tell your story because there's so many people out there that are going to be in the same position as you. And that's comforting and I think inspiring as well to people that are, you know, just fearful about doing it.
Right, yeah, and it's because it was an evolution and a progression. You know, I think maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I never would have believed some of the experiences that I've had or some of the awarenesses that I have now. You know, it was completely out of my realm of possibility. It wasn't in my field, wasn't in my perception, it wasn't in my consciousness. And I think one of the best definitions I've heard of spirituality, because I think there's so much confusion around what spiritual healing is, the best definition I've heard is spirituality is the science of the unseen. And in fact, most of our life, like, we operate on the unseen. Like, you can't see a thought, but we're pretty sure we have thoughts, you know? You know, we don't see electricity, but when I flip the switch, I expect the lights to go on and I don't give it a thought, you know. So, right. You know, we don't see air, so but we're pretty sure there's air, you know, and oxygen. And so there's a lot of unseen in this magical, wonderful universe. And we, as human beings, are magical, wonderful, beautifully crafted, created instruments. And we're designed for balance and for harmony and for wellness and for ease and for wholeness. That's our design. And when we fall into dis-ease, whether that's mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, or soul dis-ease, that's our coming out of balance with what is our natural state. So I'm really excited about this exploration of, like, what is healing? And what are we healing? If we're already whole, perfect, and complete, just as we are and just as we've been created. And so what I've come to understand from working with a lot of trauma survivors is that what we're doing when we're healing is simply coming back into a remembering of who we actually are. And because we've forgotten, things have happened, and we have a wrong perception of ourselves, and we have a misperception of the world, and a misperception of our place in the world. So a lot of it has to do with how I perceive myself. Do you remember the movie Gulliver's Travels?
Mm-hmm.
Where the little people tie down the giant.
Yep.
And so, yeah, the giant's laying on the ground tied down. And my own healing journey, and when I work with people, is every time there's a healing, because there's not just one healing, and there's not just one way to heal, and it never ends. Like, there's no end to this evolution of who we are as spiritual beings, energy beings. But every time I would have an experience of healing, it would feel like I was Gulliver, and like one of those ropes popped. Like there was like one more little piece of freedom that I was experiencing. So for me, healing is coming back home to absolute freedom within my own being. The prison that I live in now is the one that I self-create. And the one that I grew up in was one that was created for me. You know, I was trapped. I didn't have a chance or an opportunity to live life differently. But we take that learning and we carry it forward in our lives. So I was abused for the first 17 years of my life, and then I self-abused, although I don't like to say that because I think it was a way to try to cope. But then I self-abused mm-hmm. like twice that long afterwards.
Right,
yeah. So I explain all this stuff. We just try to work with it and help people come to an experience of themselves in their life, their inner experience, in a way that feels more compassionate and more loving and more whole and more safe and more free.
Right. Yeah, well, I love what you said about how it's to you, it's just a remembering. And
right.
that's really what it is, because I feel like, you know, I was just doing another interview earlier today, and one of the authors was saying basically that she when she is working with her guides, she just asks them, you know, like, how can I best serve? And how can you help me, or help me to best serve? And she mm-hmm. was saying, you know, we forget that there are all these, you know, whether you want to call them beings or powers or guides or whatever, they're all there waiting to help us. And we just have to ask. But we don't remember that all we have to do is ask. It's like, you know, we've forgotten that we're part of that energy system too. And we get so wrapped up in, you know, being a human, I guess, and like all the day-to-day stuff that we have mm-hmm. to do, go to a job and, you know, raise a family and do all this stuff, we can get very far away from who we really are and what we came here to do. And that's why, you know, when you said it, I was like, yeah, that's what it is. It's like, it's constantly remembering to remember, I guess, that... That's what it's about, and remembering that you can just ask for what you want, and it's right there for you.
It is. Yeah, I worked with the Department of Children and Families under contract as a trauma specialist for them. So I worked with a lot of kids that were really violently abused in a lot of ways, but all of them sexually abused. And they were all you know, treated as though they were bad kids. They were all juvenile justice involved, had some violent and, you know, violence and anger issues. And, you know, and so everybody was pointing fingers at them, the DCF workers, you know, their foster parents, the school, you know, kind of pointing fingers like, you're bad, because they had such acting out behaviors. And when I met them, of course, they would, you know, anybody who was referring to me for therapy would be like, fix this kid, you know, make them stop drinking, make them stop beating their teacher up, make them, you know, stop doing all that stuff. I never really addressed all that. But what I did was see the truth of who they are, look into their eyes, and continually pull forward the truth of who they are by reflecting it back to them. And one of the metaphors that I use about who we are is that we're like light bulbs. And over time, stuff happens, and mud gets caked on the light bulb. And for some of us, so much mud gets caked on that the light is completely obscured. And so I feel like my work, or our work together, my work as a healer, is to begin to remove some of that caked on mud so that the light that we always are, always have been, always will be, is revealed to us again. And then all those behaviors or all those concerns that bring us into treatment or bring us to a healer, when we recognize who we are, we come back into the remembrance of who we are, all of those behaviors simply fall away. They just drop away. Because it's impossible to hurt ourselves from a place of love and compassion for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that what you were talking about, like the guides and all that, and that the availability of guidance, is my work is to help facilitate people within, because I'm actually, I call myself a healer because that's a lazy way to say what I do and people kind of get it. But I don't do healing. The healer exists within each one of us. And so what I do is facilitate people within in order to access their own highest knowing, because all of us actually do know what it is that we need, what is misaligned, who can help us, you know, what the right job is, where the right place to live. You know, we do know all that, but as you said, we live these really busy lives, and we swim in our mind, and we swim in our thoughts, and we're disconnected from our bodies, and so this higher wisdom is present and exists, and it's active all the time. We just don't get in stillness often enough to hear the intuitive voice. And so everything that I do kind of helps people to awaken to the messages. When our body has an experience, that's a communication. When we have an emotion, that's a communication to us. When we have a disease or a, you know, physical symptom, that's a communication. And to be able to stop and inquire of that experience, what is it that I need to know? And I also perceive that all of our experience in that way is benevolent. It's trying to help us. It's coming from a place of love. So if somebody falls down, and one of my students kind of fell down and she fractured an ankle. And so the work was, how was my ankle loving me? Like, how did this experience come to me from a place of love and compassion? What is it trying to help me understand or to know? You know, for a lot of us, it's like, slow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We live in a really fast pace. Yeah, fast-paced, crazy world, and when we don't listen to the subtle messages, then the messages get louder and more apparent and more obvious, and it will deliver the message and continually deliver it until we hear it, and sometimes it can come in some really challenging ways. But perceiving ourselves and the world and what we experience as coming from a place of love, that in and of itself is healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So tell us a little bit about how you work with your clients. And I'm going to guess that you probably, like when somebody comes to see you, you probably do a lot of different modalities with them. There's not one size fits all thing that you do all the time. And I'm also guessing that it's going to, you know, you kind of let the situation tell you what work needs to be done, even though the person might be saying, oh, I want this particular treatment, or I want to do that.
You're right. Good guess. One of the things that I love to do the most now when I'm working with somebody is I call intuitive healing. And it is. It's an integration of everything that I've done. So it might be a little bit of channeling, which is a really fun thing. Channeling someone who's passed over, and I can actually channel people who are still living so that people can have conversation with folks that they can't have conversation with in real life and understand things. It might be some integration of some psychotherapy. It might be some integration of energy work or somatic work or, yeah. So when somebody comes to me, and what I've been finding is that when people come to me for the intuitive healing, usually an hour and a half, most about a two-hour session, and it's kind of an intensive healing session. And people only need to come like once or twice to work through what it is that's facing them right then. But yeah, I trust that their wisdom, their inner wisdom, and I trust my inner wisdom to guide us to exactly where it is that we need to go and exactly what it is that we need to do when we're together in order to arrive at the place where they're going to experience a healing and a release of whatever it is that they came for. And one of the most powerful, I think one of the most powerful energies in healing, and I teach this when I teach Reiki, and I use it in Kundalini Yoga when I teach that, and I use it when I do intuitive healing, is for us to state an intention. So when we declare our intention, so I will ask them, what is it that you desire for healing today? That intention, again, is the spiritual, right? It's the science of the unseen. That intention has a powerful energy, and it kind of lasers the energy of the universe towards that which it is that we desire. And even like with a Reiki class, when people decide that they're going to take a Reiki class with me, the Reiki and the healing actually begins at the point of that decision and not when we come together for the class. So there's healing taking place from the point of decision to the class and then through and past and, you know, the class. So intention is huge and powerful. And again, because we're engineered in this magnificent way, we have two choices. We can either collaborate with our natural, like, state, you know, our natural mechanism, or we can kind of get in the way of it. So it's like when we, you know, cut ourselves, we can keep the wound clean, keep it covered, you know, take care of it, and then our natural healing mechanism will heal that wound. Or we can scratch at it and, you know, keep it dirty, and then our natural mechanism for healing is going to be disrupted and not optimally able to do what it is that it does. So I teach people, I help people to understand what it is that they need to collaborate with that higher wisdom within them that knows all that it is that they need and who they truly are, the light within them.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's, you know, with any of these different healing modalities, that's really the only way you can go about it. You know, it doesn't make sense that there's a, just like with weight loss programs or exercise programs, there really is no one size fits all, even though you know, like the latest fad diet that everyone's gonna be successful being released every minute. But it's so individualized, and you know, same thing with healing. I mean, you may not even be aware of what you need to work on until you kinda get into the whole session. And the individual and the client, for sure.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what advice would you have for someone who's thinking about going down this path? Like they are, you know, they're being called to the healing profession and maybe they're just not sure or they're not getting support from their family or peers or whatever, like what do you think are some things that you some strengths that you had or some things that you did that kind of helped you be successful on your path?
Well, a couple of things. I really believe, I studied a lot of faith traditions and Buddhism is one of them. And Buddhism talks about how important we are as the primary relationship. Like the primary relationship that we have is not the one we have with our spouse or our children or our parents. The primary relationship is the one we have with ourselves. So I would say for anybody starting out, number one, I call it radical self-honoring. honor yourself and what it is that you're being called to do, there's a resonance. You know, you can feel what we resonate with, whether it's with people or a modality or a job or, you know, whatever. We can feel when there's a resonance with us, that we're vibrating with whatever that choice is. So I would say that it's always been my experience that when it's right for me, it's just right. It just ends up being right kind of all the way around. So honor that first. And I think to trust, find people who will support you in what it is that you're doing. I discovered a long time ago that I was kayaking with a friend of mine, actually, and we're both healers, and we were considering the question, how does healing happen? Like, what facilitates healing? And we recognize that healing can happen in, like, all kinds of ways. You know, healing can happen walking in the woods. It can happen in a conversation. It can happen while making love. It can happen, you know, it just happens everywhere. So the question was, well, what, you know, where does healing come from? And we know that, you know, healing comes from within. So to trust that inner guidance and to trust where we're led to and to know that all healing modalities are good. They're all good. They all have a place, including surgery and medication and all the other, you know, kinds of things. So they're all good, and there's no one right way and there's no better way. There's just a way that resonates with me. And to the degree that we're aligned with what most resonates with us, what's most calling us, I think is where we can be the most effective and the happiest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And I think that really you do have to honor your own intuition and, you know, regardless of what other people are saying to you, positive or negative, it really comes down to what you want and what you know to be true and the right path for you. And like you said, you know, when you know it, you know it. And also, I feel like when it's the right, you'll get signs. Like for me, if I'm unsure about something, I'm like, I have a spirit animal. It's a great blue heron. And I can't tell you how many times, like, I've made a decision and I've kind of been questioning it, not sure, did I do the right thing? Out of the blue, I will look up and this bird will be flying overhead. Like, that's happened to me, I don't know how many times. Just like, you know, like in places you wouldn't even expect. Or I could be driving somewhere and I just happen to look up and there the bird is. And I'm like, oh, that's my confirmation. Like, that means to me, yes, you are on the right path, or yes, you made the right choice, or you're doing the right thing. So there's like little things, I think, that you just have to notice.
Yeah, absolutely. Subtle cues.
Right.
Well, I can ask for those too.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Yeah, like show me.
Show me. Yeah, what's my next step? Where am I to be? Show me. Yeah. Every time I see the numbers 111, you know, whether it's on the clock or somewhere. Every time I see that, I stop for a minute and I just say thank you. You know, like it's just a remembering that this is a perfect and beautiful universe, and there's so much magic in it. And there's so little of it that we directly experience. There's so much more beyond, you know, what it is that we can perceive with these senses. And to know that there's a right order, you know, in the universe. And the world and life is happening for me, not to me. And so when I see 111, like you, and you see the bird, it's like, that's just a reminder. It's like breathing. You know, it's like turning on the parasympathetic nervous system and turning down the sympathetic nervous system and just taking, it's like a sigh, you know, like it's like a reset button.
Mhm. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So before we finish, I just want to give you an opportunity to let people know how they can connect with you. You know, either if you have a website you want to let people know about, or how they can connect with you via email, and if you have any events or anything like that going on that you want people to know about.
Thanks. One of the most consistent things that I do that I adore is I teach Kundalini yoga. I've been doing yoga for maybe 12 years. But Kundalini yoga is a very powerful science and healing technology, which really aligns well with my work as a licensed clinical social worker, and my work as an energy healer. So I teach regular classes every Tuesday night in Rocky Hill, the Kundalini yoga. And then I teach at least once a month a full moon healing circle, usually out at Radiant Yoga in East Hampton. So I do that regularly. I teach Reiki classes pretty regularly, and I'm available for intuitive healing sessions by appointment. So there's a couple of ways to get a hold of me. I kind of don't mind the old-fashioned way. You can call me. On the phone. You don't even have to text. You can just actually dial me up. So the way to get a hold of me by phone is 860-707-3881, and I welcome calls anytime. And then I do have a website, and I do have a Facebook presence. The website is www.karenlemieux.net, and Facebook is the same web address. So those are some good ways to get a hold of me. My email is karen@karenlemieux.net. So if you Google Karen Lemieux, you'll find me all kinds of different places and ways to access me.
Okay, perfect. And your last name is spelled L-E-M-I-E-U-X.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, this has been a great call. I'm sure that people are very fascinated and excited to read your individual chapter, and will be reaching out to you, and we're looking for the book to be coming out late this fall. We'll keep everybody posted on our website. And thanks again, Karen, for your time tonight, and hope you have a great rest of your night.
You too. Thanks. It was fun.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.